We've been teaching on growing up in God, maturing, allowing God to get us to a place where he desires. He wants us all to be fully grown. Paul wrote the New Testament. A lot of it about us growing is in there. You know, and he was sent to the Gentiles who had no heritage of God. They had no memories, no traditions. They had absolutely nothing about God. They knew nothing. Only what they heard about the Israelites, the Jewish community. And he had to, with the Spirit of God, train them, teach them, grow them up to be what? Part of the church. Functioning individuals. And so he wrote a lot of the New Testament to the newborn Christians, newborn babes and children of God so that they could grab a hold of the word and grow. He was encouraging. He said, y'all grow up, grow up. There's a great work for us to do. Jesus left us with this great work of harvest being out in the world and ready to be harvested, and he needed witnesses. The Holy Spirit was hovering over many of us and saved us and got us into that place where we least accepted him. But then there's a great responsibility we have, and that responsibility rests on God's shoulders. The government should be upon his shoulders. But he uses us, his children. He's using us to carry out his work. So anyway, he wants us to grow, and I've been trying to emphasize that, you know, we're only talking about giving you examples and behaviors of each growth level so that you can determine where you are, so that you can make a decision. I don't want to be a newborn babe all my life. I don't want to be lost and walking in the flesh all every day. I get up, I want to have some peace, right? You want to have some joy, some constructive advancement in your life. And so you don't want to get there. You want to go to the next level. From one level, from newborn babes, you want to go to being a child, childlike behaviors in God. And the Bible speaks about those and what comes with being a child. It's something great, and I think it's almost something that we can hardly even grasp. He says the kingdom of God belongs to the children of God. Can you imagine that? That the kingdom of God belongs to the children of God. And in that kingdom, he's given us the ability to survive and to operate. He shows us how his spiritual word, how his word works in our lives. Amen? Next level, which I think that most of us want to attain to, is young men, young adult, women and men of God. And while the pastor's teaching on Psalms 119, which talks about the law and the word of God, we'll be going over that in the next, I guess, at least 26 weeks or so. When you get to the young man stage, you'll know you're there because your emphasis is on the word of God. Young men and young women love the word. They can't get enough of it. They're always talking about the word of God. When you see somebody and they always come into the word, you can tell that they have reached in this next level. Children are tossed to and fro, every wind of doctrine, right? So they're bouncing back. They like the word too. But a young man or woman, their focus is, oh, I need to get more of this inside of me. I need to spend more time with God. I need more of this word. That's one behavior of a young adult Christian. And then, of course, we move on to the spiritual maturity, where there's a lot of things in there that it's a lot of meat in being mature. One of the things we talked about, I can't remember, one Wednesday we talked about, oh my God. Anyway, one Wednesday we were talking and we were sharing about, I can't remember what we were sharing about, love God, I can't remember. We're talking about the word, but somehow now we got over to talking about what this particular word means to you, and I wish I could remember it, but I can't remember right now. But the thing that I want to share with you is that a mature Christian knows how to love his enemies. If you have yet not conquered your flesh and your ability to offend people, you have not yet reached the maturity. Because God loves everybody. Now, he doesn't love the dumb. He doesn't love the devil. Because I know some of you are thinking, does he love the devil? We're talking about people. Those spirits, they are good. We don't have to love the devil. We don't have to go out and try to convince the devil of God's goodness. But people sometimes become our enemies. Sometimes we can't stand a person because of where their attitude is or what they've done. If they've done something to us, or they spoke irreverently to us, or didn't respect us, or whatever the case may be. Or they did something totally different. Or it could be a stranger. It could be a country. Well, I hate those. God, when you become mature, you begin to understand how to love your enemies. Part of loving your enemies, and I'm just talking about some characteristics of a mature Christian, is praying. Now, we have prayer throughout our whole Christian life, from newborn life all the way up to, you know, throughout. But a mature Christian understands the power of prayer. They don't shy away from it. They know how to contact their Father when it comes to circumstances in their life that need to be changed or on others' behalf. Mature Christians know how to intercede. So those are a couple of characteristics of mature Christians that walk in throughout there. We go on from there to becoming one more step. I want to say it because there's nothing hidden before God, and there's nothing to be hidden for you too. You should know this. Where we're headed, it says the whole, all the family of the earth and the world are crying out in desperation. They're waiting for the expectations of the sons of God. When we were created in heaven, God's vision was for Adam and Eve to be creatures, created beings of heaven. Those created beings of heaven were to be sons of God. Now, we know all the tragedy that happened and what happened to the earth and how we got to this place where we are now and how God is now turning that back around. Jesus has come. He's given us a new avenue of direction of how to approach God and what, I mean, he's really lifted all obstacles. You know, in 1 John, it talks about those who receive, to believe on him, he receives him, he gives the power to become sons of God. It says that in the scripture. That's two places we mentioned already. There's a bunch of other places that is mentioned there as well. So we'll get there, and I don't know when we're going to get there because we're just on child of God right now. We're still on children and what the experiences are for and behaviors are for children. We talked about the kingdom of God, which is a great big responsibility for kids to understand, for children of God to understand. And then we talked about walking in the Spirit. And it's interesting that walking in the Spirit is not something that's for next time or for down the road. He comes with it right away. One other thing he comes with right away that we probably don't understand is that he comes with the gifts of the Spirit even for newborn babes. It's a characteristic of being a newborn babe. It's operating in the gifts of the Spirit. We see that in 1 Corinthians, Romans 12. And you know, so you got to think, where am I? Did I just pass over that? He says he gives us all a gift. Everybody has one. And I believe we operate in those gifts. There are three levels, three types, I guess you could call it. There are the motivational gifts. He talks about in Romans, I think it's Romans 12, 14, around there. There's the power gifts or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are nine of those. And pastors taught on those as well. And then there's the ministry gifts. You know, we throw the fivefold ministry, which we hear about in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, which is part of our introductory scriptures for growing in grace. I'll go ahead and read that one for you. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. This is the Amplified. And his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles. It's a gift. Special messengers, representatives, some as prophets. That's a gift. Who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists. That's a gift. Who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors. That's a gift. And teachers, that's the gift. Some people say those are together and one. I don't care how you take it. Do it however you want. But it's a gift to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints. How did he wanted to do what to the saints? Perfect them. He wanted to perfect God's people for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, to build us up. Why do we need building up? Why do we need to be built up? Some of us need to understand why we need to be built up so that we can enter into this fight to become mature Christians, so that you could be part of the building up process and not just part of the sucking up process. We mean sucking up the glory and sucking up the anointing and sucking up. You just suck it up like a sponge. That's the time for sucking up. But we want to be given out. You want to give out some of the glory that God has given unto you. You want to be able to build up, encourage some people in the body, encourage unbelievers, encourage them, right? You want to be a part of the building up the body. It says here, the building up of the body of Christ until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually. So we're not talking about a natural growing, an intellectual growing. We're not talking about that kind of growing. We're talking about spiritually growing, to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness, and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. A sign of a mature Christian is that they operate in unity. They don't want to divide. They want to unite. They want to bring together. Every fiber in their being resists division, separation. Every fiber in their being. Some of you go, well, are we supposed to join with the devil? Get your head in the right place then. Get your heart where it's supposed to be. No, not with, don't side with evil or sin. But we're supposed to unite one another. Find peace, right, with everyone. So that we are no longer, listen to this, so that we are no longer children. Spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things unto him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. That's the Amplified version of the Bible. The Amplified throws in a lot of amplification. That's what I like to say. So you saw a lot of extra words in there. So this growing up is important. This ministry, the ministry gifts are important. Your part in building up the body of Christ is important. We all need to be asking God what my part is. Grow me up in my part so that I can help the body be mature. And so we're at the part where we're talking about walking in the Spirit, and we talked about the works of the flesh, and now we're on the works of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going down through each one. It's something I didn't think the Spirit of God wanted me to do, but he then said, yes, I want you to go through each one. And so I've been spending a whole session with you on these Sunday mornings when I get to speak on the fruit of the Spirit. So where are we? Last time I spoke was in December. It was almost going to snow. I think it did snow later on. But we talked about goodness. And I hadn't gotten to the scriptures about goodness. But Wednesday, though, it was good. Wednesday was good. We talked about goodness. You guys remember that? So I know some of you weren't there on Wednesday evening. You know, from what happens on Wednesdays after the Sunday, the following Wednesday, we talk about the scriptures and talk about more in depth what the sermon was on Sundays. And it's been really, 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 really good. So if you have an opportunity to come and join us, please do. It's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, 6 to 7:30. I was thinking because one time it was at 5:30 to 6:30 and we had praise and worship rehearsal afterwards. I didn't want to push that back further, Deb. But I was hoping he would say 6 to 7 and we could meet at 7. We could meet at 7. But it's okay. 6 to 7:30. And I'm telling you, we do pray still also. So if you are thinking about coming for prayer, we definitely need you to come on out and join us then as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for aligning us with your word, with your promises, aligning our hearts, Father God, to see and to hear and to receive from you. We thank you, Lord God, that as we have already worshiped and praised you and received your presence, that you, Father God, have come and kneaded our hearts, Father God, and comforted us that we may receive, Father God, direction, we may receive improvement, we may receive whatever it is that you desire for us to have this morning. Use us. Use our words, use our life, use our expressions, use every part of us this morning to deliver this word as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray. So as I contemplated if we should go back to goodness or not, I feel like we did have a good time with goodness and everybody was blessed. So we're going to go on to the next one, which is faith. Fruit of the Spirit. Now we talked about the fruit of the Spirit being not something, fruits of the Spirit as being something that you grow. How I've got to learn how to do this. They're already part of your recreated spirit. Already part of the spirit that's in you. If you've been saved, you already have this fruit in you. So what we need to learn how to do is allow them to come out. Allow myself to express them. Allow not my flesh and my own thinking to hinder what the Spirit of God is wanting to come out, want me to yield to. So faith, and faith is a big one, right? Because we can't be saved without faith, right? We have to have that in us in order for us to be a part of what God's kingdom is. Faith, in order to be even saved, you got to have faith. And so there's a couple of different things about faith that I think in Christendom that sometimes we misconstrue. So I want to talk about those this morning and kind of give you an idea of what faith is. Most of the time we say, well, I know what faith is. Of course we do. Faith is, oh, That's the people quoting Hebrews 11:1. But simply put, faith is believing. Faith is believing. So you can have faith in a whole bunch of stuff, right? If it's just believing, I can have faith in the chair I'm sitting in that it'll hold me. I can have faith in the clothes I put on that they'll keep me warm. I can have faith that the food I eat is going to be sustenance for me. So you can believe a lot of things. But the faith that God wants us to have is slightly different. Right? Sometimes I think that we don't kind of quite understand about faith because we want to believe that it's in our head. And the Bible clearly tells us that faith is not in our head. Faith is in our heart. Faith is in your heart, not in your head. Right? So you could doubt in your head, but still have faith in your heart. Isn't that interesting? Thoughts can come against what you believe in your heart. But the only way you can conceive of that thought is for you to then take it. And the Bible tells us, take no thought by saying. You remember that? So how do you take thoughts from your head into your heart when you begin to speak them out of your mouth? So that's when it becomes part of your heart. Now, it's not an immediate thing. You may have to say it more than one time, but it's the beginning of it. So faith is in your heart. It's the word of God, and it's how we can trust in God, but yet still have some things going on in our head, some thoughts that are whirling around. As long as those things that are in our head don't take actionable steps, you're good. If you're just thinking them, this is thoughts. Right? We have a lot of older Christians here. Have you gone through this process where you've tried to figure out, did I believe or did I not believe? what happened, God? I knew I was standing on the word, but what's going on? And God, he'll tell you what happened. If you ask him, a lot of times we got a thought in our head that we didn't know. Somebody came up and we testified to it. And God said, you almost were there. If you could have just kept your mouth shut, the word of God would have been yours. So faith is believing. Faith is in the heart. You say, I don't really know about that. Let's see here. I'll get you some scriptures so you can not think I'm just telling you stuff because I feel like it. One of the strongest truths of the New Testament is that the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. Those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and receive his reborn spirit shall live, walk habitually and continually by faith. Many have tried to define and explain, demonstrate and describe this faith that Jesus requires of all Christians, but Paul gives us a definition of faith in the book of Hebrews 11:1. However, we must come to a final conclusion ourselves that faith is intricately connected to our new life in Christ. We cannot be saved without faith. Ephesians 2:8 states that we are saved by grace through faith. Hebrews 11:6 declares that it is impossible to please God without faith. Jesus commands us to have faith in Mark 11:22, and the most conclusive of the scriptures is Romans 14:23. And he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When I first read that, I could think of countless times when I did not have faith in doing something. And God's telling me now, you were operating in sin because you were not believing the word of God. As a Christian, because we are created as new beings, God is with us 24/7, all the time. So our faith is heightened. We can believe all the time. Right? Because he's there encouraging us. The Holy Spirit's there nudging us. So there's no need for us to operate without faith at any time. But we know that our head gets involved and our flesh gets involved and we sometimes falter. But there is no need for that. He's telling us you can continually walk in faith. Plus, he says, I dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you got faith. So it's not like you don't have faith. You have it. Right? And I'm going to give you a sweet revelation that my wife gave to me, that she gave to her coworkers one afternoon when they were trusting in God for healing for someone. God came back and told her, I just give it to you now, that all you have to have is a mustard seed of faith. This much. And you can move mountains. This much. So it pains me to think that I didn't even have this much. I didn't even have this much faith. When the disciples asked Jesus, oh, Jesus, help us increase our faith. They didn't have this much. Think about it. Come on, y'all. And we are way beyond them. You and I. They were asking them, go increase. I know some of us get in that space too. Oh, God, increase my faith. I don't know. This much. Come on. This much faith. Think about it. And we know that seed, as mustard seed, when you plant it in your heart, it grows and becomes the greatest tree in the area. But this is how much you need. If you need to get a hold of that revelation, because when you believe in God for something, you can say, oh God, I know I got this much. I know I got this much. This is mine. I know I got it. I got it. Plus, he gives to every man the measure of faith. It didn't even have to come from me. It didn't have. You didn't have to get it up. You didn't have to grow it up. You didn't have to pray it up. You didn't have to. It was already there. Boy, he made this thing right for us. Now, some of you are thinking, "Ah, you Curtis, you talking trash. What's wrong with you? You don't know what you're talking about, boy." So, faith is believing. Believing is an action. It is not simply a declaration or a proclamation of your understanding of God and his word. You do not have faith just by saying that you do or thinking that you do. The book of James instructs us that faith produces a corresponding action. That's why James is in there. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you faith by my works. So he's telling us that when you have faith, some kind of action comes. Come on, saints. When you have faith, well, what is the action? Well, the action could be jumping up and down in praise and worship. What? It could be that. It could be that simple. Obedience to the Spirit of God. Whatever he's telling you to do in connection with your faith, you got to ask him, Lord, what is my action for me to believe that I am healed? What do you want me to do? Sometimes you may have to go through a whole lot before he tells you. You may have to fast. Oh, you may have to pray. You may have to talk to some people. I don't know. I know it comes across different ways. And over my life, it has come in different times and different ways. It's not always been come, I ask God, and he just gives it right to me. Sometimes he wants to grow you up in different ways. He wants to teach you things. So he gives you little bit by little bit. He shows you in your word, in the word of God, when you're praying in your quiet time. He'll show you one scripture, and then he'll add another scripture. Before you know it, bang, I got the action that I need to add to my faith in order to receive the thing that I'm believing for. It is sometimes a process. Faith is believing in your heart. We get that from Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe in your heart. So believing takes place in the heart. So believing takes place in the heart. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes. Very simple, right? Unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we know that this heart is important. Where we believe. Now, where does growth take place? How does growth take place in the believer? We talked about this many sermons ago, many sessions ago. The heart is the ground where the word of God is received. The word of God is planted in what? In the heart, because that's where your belief is. That's where faith is risen. There's different types of ground that your heart can be made of. But the one that we want to be made of is the one that receives the word with joy so that it goes deep so that we can produce, or it can produce, 36 to 100 fold. So the heart's important. Keep your heart, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All your issues that you have come out of your heart. Complicated by your head, but they're coming out of you. Think it through. Think it through. Faith is believing that the results, that results in actions, which makes substance. Substance is what we receive in reality. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, what? Now, faith is the substance, right, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I am believing for Sherry to be at service this morning. Is that faith? It's faith before she got here, but when she got here, it's no longer faith because she's here. Why do I need to have faith for that, which I've already seen? If she wasn't here, then I would be believing God and hoping that she would attend this morning. Hallelujah. I thought I'd give you a little reality there. I was hoping she would come. So let's take this word that has just flown off my page. Get it back. So I have an iPad here, and my sermons are all on it. And this one particular sermon, which I didn't think I was going to preach it all at one time, it's 173 pages. Kind of, you thought, woo! There's a lot about the child of God section. And it's a lot in there that Paul is trying to get to us on being a child of God or being at the child level stage. So Faith is substance. So a lot of times we get that mixed up. We're hoping for God to come, and we believe in God for something that we don't have. But once we have it, then there's no longer need faith for it because it's already received. So faith is important, and faith is, and that's what the Bible's telling us, is the thing that's telling you you're going to have it. Now, there's a time span, you know, because God's time is not ours. He's outside of time. We're in time. We have time, you know, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. He doesn't have that. So to him, when you have faith and you have conceived it already, to him it's already a done deal. But to us, we have to wait across time. Sometimes the time is years. When David, Moses, and all the old saints, they were believing unto salvation their whole life. And Jesus had not come. They were having faith. The Bible tells us that. They had faith unto salvation. So I wanted to share that with you because sometimes we think we get exhausted, but you can't get exhausted, right? You got to have faith. It says it. The way I look at it, I'm going to believe because I'm a believer. I have the measure of the faith already in me. So whether I have the thing that I'm believing for or not today doesn't matter right now, right? Because I believe it. That says I'm going to have it. Even if I don't get it until I am resurrected in the last day. That's the kind of faith that God has given us. That's the kind of thing that brings the joy, right? The thing that gets even more so, I know there are things immediate that we need. We pay for pastor and for, you know, the young Abigail to be healed and to be nourishment and so forth and so on. We know that that's coming quickly. We know that that's not going to wait until she gets to salvation. We know Jesus is gracious and merciful like that. Amen? But there are some things that do take a little time. Depends on us. And it's for us to have faith through those things. Healing is important, and it's a special thing that we have trouble with. Now, I want to give you a little bit of comfort in dealing with being healed, going through physical deficits and illnesses and so forth. When you believe and trust in God, it's the same way. You take the word of God, you put it in your heart, and you believe. And what me and Sherry do, we believe for divine health. Health that, because Jesus went to the cross, he already paid the price for our bodies, natural bodies, physical bodies, to be healed. Now, we may get sick. We may get the flu. We may get the, I think we fought off COVID for a long time, but then it finally hit us. And so did some of you. I jumped off a roof. I don't know if you know that story. I jumped off a roof and tore my ankle off the socket. When I hit the ground, my foot, which was supposed to be like this, went like this. And the interesting thing about that was I was looking at it, and I was thinking, that foot's not supposed to do that. I'm laying on the ground, and I'm going, oh, this is going to hurt. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how did I do that? The doctor was funny because he said, the ball joint of your ankle, you know, sits on a bunch of couple bones. And he said, yours just, that ball joint just slipped right from under. Didn't break any tendons, didn't stretch anything like that, just the bone was broken. I have 3 bolts in my ankle to hold that ankle together. Yes, I do. 3 bolts and some wire. They had to put some wire in there too. But I broke it, right? I had to go to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Jesus didn't come and he didn't heal it right then, even though I wished he did. I believe in God, I'm gonna heal it. It's a whole funny story that you got to get me to tell you later on. But when you're going through things like that, right? You need cavities, your teeth need to be fixed, or your back is in pain, or your head hurts, or any of those things. You always, if you don't get anything out of this sermon, get this. Always go to God first. Always put your faith in action. Regardless of what comes after, put your faith in action. Believe God. Oh, God, thank you that I am receiving healing in my body for whatever it is. Call a doctor, make an appointment, go there and do whatever you need to do. Amen? Because God can use those guys too. He can use surgeons. He can use Tylenol and ibuprofen. Y'all didn't know that, did you? They're not evil. They're not. They were developed in the earth. They're part of God's creation. You can look at it that way if you want. but you and I as Christians, the first thing we need to do is what? We need to put our faith forward. Put our faith in the first place. All right. I have gone past my time, I think. I got about, 5 minutes? You don't know? You weren't looking? Look, well, keep not looking. For therein, Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Those of us who are justified in Jesus, we live by faith. And that's what he means for us to take faith and literally put it in action. Believe it in our heart. If it's not there, how does faith come? Here's a good one for you. Romans 10:17, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You and I hearing the word of God produces faith in our heart. It energizes the faith that's the fruit of the Spirit that's already there. It causes it to germinate, so to speak. You say, well, how do I know it's doing that? You know that by faith. He didn't mean to make it hard at all. It's so simple that I know that we all can grab a hold of it. And I know some people want to make it, gigantic, and you didn't have enough faith. What are you talking about? I ain't got to have this much. I know I got this much. Surely, Jesus, I got this much. So something else must be going on. So I got to find out what else is going on that's not causing my faith to activate. That's all it is. So I can, because he wants us to grow. He wants us to grow up and move on and get to the place, the higher plane, get to the place where he wants to. So faith is another fruit of the Spirit. I think I've said enough about what I think I need to say about faith. Yes. I think I did say enough. Well, maybe one more thing. Just connecting some things, you got to connect some things. Old generation, Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart in abundance? If faith is in your heart in abundance, then faith comes out your mouth. If you hear something else coming out your mouth, it doesn't mean you don't have faith. It could be you're using your head, and you let your head get in that train, get in that avenue, and come out. But eventually, what he's saying, what's in your heart in abundance? If it's in there in abundance, it's coming out. When you hear yourself call on Jesus when you need help, he's in there in abundance. When you hear yourself say, oh, Lord, or when you hear yourself singing in praise and worship, that's in your heart. Abundance in your heart comes out of your mouth. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So those are some clues God gives us, right? Those are some clues that God gives us to train us on how to operate our faith, or to let us know, oh, dog, I'm not operating faith right there. I need to get over on what faith is. And it's simple to get on faith. Sometimes you don't have the word that you need, so you go to the word, and you get that scripture that you need, and you start repeating it over and over again. Say it out loud. Say it in your heart. Whisper it. You know, my wife puts it up on the mirror on a little sticky note. Some of you write it in your Bible. I've seen those things. Some of you got a journal, and you put it in your journal. Get it in your heart so that it'll come out your mouth, because this is how God is looking at us. You say, well, he knows what's in my heart. Yeah, but he wants to hear you do it his way and what his way said. He's looking for you to do it his way. I've held a lot of things in my heart, and I'll be thinking, okay, God knows this and he knows that. But then I'm like, what's going on, God? What's I can hear you saying it in your heart. When is it going to come out your mouth? When are you going to say and do the action corresponding to your faith? You know, because God is a real person. Well, he's not a person per se. But he acts like a person. How about that? He has actions as a person. He's a personification. God, spiritual, he talks to us. He comforts us. He prays with us. He hugs us, right? He holds our hand. He does all those kinds of things. But in our conversations with him, you know, he's wanting us to conversate. Conversate with God. I know a lot of us speak in our heart, and that's fine. I'm not that trying to tell you not to do that. But he also he's out loud. I mean, he comes and he sits there in front of you. He's looking at you, and he can say, I can hear your thoughts, but are you saying it? Anyway, I digress. I appreciate you guys listening about this fruit of the Spirit, which is faith. If you are here today and you don't know God, you have an ache or yearning to know him better, to understand the wisdom that God gives. You're sitting here and you can say that I am ready to go forward with him being my personal Savior and Lord. I want him in my life. If you're here today and you are yearning for that, I'm giving you the opportunity today to just come or just raise your hand. We'll pray for you.